Order, please.
Messages from the President, Speaker, Parliament of Sri Lanka, the Public Security Ordinance, Chapter 40. By virtue of the powers vested in me by Section 12 of the Public Security Ordinance, Chapter 40, I have issued an order to the effect that all members of the armed forces specified in the first schedule are summoned for the maintenance of public order in the areas specified in the second schedule thereof, taking into consideration the need for the public order to be maintained. Accordingly, I hereby inform the Parliament of the said order in terms of Section 2(3) of the aforesaid ordinance read with Section 21(2) thereof. Yours sincerely, Maitripala Sirisena, the President. Announcement B. I wish to inform the Parliament that I have received copies of two petitions filed at the Supreme Court in terms of Article 121(1) of the Constitution of the Democratic Socialist Republic of Sri Lanka in respect of the bill entitled Rural Economic Development Corporation of Sri Lanka. Announcement C. I wish to inform that the Honorable Lakshman Vasanta Pereira, Member of Parliament, has been discharged from membership of the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Sustainable Development and Environment and Natural Resources and nominated the Honorable T.B. Ekanayaka, Member of Parliament, to serve in that committee by the Committee of Selection on 23rd August 2019 in terms of provisions of the Standing Order 111-22A of the Parliament. Presentation of papers. Honorable Prime Minister and Minister of National Policies and Economic Affairs, Honorable Speaker, I request 1 minute time to raise a very important point. A great scientist of Sri Lanka, Professor Carlo Fonseca, passed away yesterday, and on his request, the remains of the late Carlo Fonseca was handed over to the medical college on his request. Within about 8 hours' time, he was a great person who had rendered a great service for the nation of this country, and he was an active politician in the leftist politics of Sri Lanka, and he had to face all the difficult situations in the country, and the Sri Lanka Freedom Party and the members of the Joint Opposition wish to make this opportunity to express our condolences on this occasion. Thank you. We wish to extend our deepest sympathies on this occasion. Honorable Minister, I present the annual report of the Geological Survey and Mines Bureau for year 2016. I move that this report be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Sustainable Development and Environment and Natural Resources. I present the report on the submission of observations and steps taken in terms of the Standing Order 119(4) of the Parliament with regard to the matters mentioned on the performance of the Election Commission for the year 2017 in the third report for the third session of the 8th Parliament of the Committee on Public Accounts, which was presented to Parliament on 21st June 2019. I move that this report be referred to the Committee on Public Accounts. Honorable Minister of Finance, Honorable Speaker, I present the annual report of the People's Bank for year 2018, annual report of the National Savings Bank for year 2018, order made by the Minister of Finance under Section 2 of the Special Commodity Levy Act No. 488 of 2007 relating to Special Commodity Levy and published in the Gazette Extraordinary No. 2122/4 of 7th May 2019. Order made by the Minister of Finance under Section 2 of the Special Commodity Levy Act No. 488 of 2007 relating to the Special Commodity Levy and published in the Gazette Extraordinary No. 2124/2 of 21st May 2019. Order made by the Minister of Finance under Section 2 of the Special Commodity Levy Act No. 488 of 2007 relating to Special Commodity Levy and published in the Gazette Extraordinary No. 2124/4 of 21st May 2019. Order made by the Minister of Finance under Section 2 of the Special Commodity Levy Act No. 48 of 2007 relating to Special Commodity Levy and published in the Gazette Extraordinary No. 2130/20 of 3rd July 2019. Order made by the Minister of Finance under Section 2 of the Special Commodity Levy Act No. 48 of 2007 relating to Special Commodity Levy and published in the Gazette Extraordinary No. 2131/30 of 10 July 2019. Order made by the Acting Minister of Finance under Section 2 of the Special Commodity Levy Act No. 48 of 2007 relating to Special Commodity Levy and published in the Gazette Extraordinary No. 2132/13 of 18 July 2019. Resolution under Section 10 of the Customs Ordinance Chapter 235 relating to import duties. An order made by the Minister of Finance under Section 19A of the Customs Ordinance Chapter 235 relating to exemptions of customs import duty and published in the Gazette Extraordinary No. 2134/34 of 31st July 2019. And I move that these reports, orders and the resolution be referred to the Committee on Public Finance. Honorable Minister of Public Administration, Disaster Management and Livestock Development, I present the submission of observations and steps taken in terms of the Standing Order 119 of the Parliament with regard to the matters mentioned on the performance of the Ministry of Public Administration and Management, Ministry of Disaster Management, Department of Pensions and Department of Meteorology for the year 2017 in the third report for the third session of the 8th Parliament of the Committee on Public Accounts, which was presented to Parliament on 21st June 2019. I move that these reports be referred to the Committee on Public Accounts. Honorable Minister of Transport and Civil Aviation, Honorable Speaker, I present the annual report of the National Transport Medical Institute for year 2016. I move that this report be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Transport and Communication. Honorable Minister of Ports and Shipping and Southern Development. Honorable Speaker, I present the annual report of the Sri Lanka Ports Authority for year 2017. I move that this report be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Transport and Communication. Honorable Non-Cabinet Minister of Science, Technology and Research. Honorable Speaker, I present the annual report of the National Engineering Research and Development Center of Sri Lanka for year 2017. I move that this report be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Education and Human Resource Development. Thank you. Presentation of the reports of Sectoral Oversight Committees. Honorable Dr. Jayampathy Vikramaratne, the Chair of the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Legal Affairs, Anti-Corruption and Media. Honorable Speaker, I present the report of the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Legal Affairs and Media on Regulation under the Judicature Act No. 2 of 1978, which was referred to the said committee. Presentation of public petitions, Honorable Gamini Lokuge. Honorable Gamini Lokuge. Honorable Speaker, I present the petition received from RST Dhanapal of Minuangoda. Honorable Santa Punchi Nilami, Honorable Speaker, I present the petition received from Mr. Andra Veligamage and two others of Anuradhapura, and the petition received from Mr. G.D. Nandasen of Kanthale. Honorable Sunil Nandunnetti, Honorable Speaker, I present the petition received from Mrs. A.L. Karunavathi of Deniyaya, and the petition received from Mr. H.M. Sanjeeva Dharmasena of Mirigama, and the petition received from R.P. Rajangani of Parasmulla. Thank you. The petitions will be referred to the Committee on Public Petitions. Questions for oral answers. Question 1, Honorable Resha Vithanagi. Honorable Dayasiri Jayasekara. Honorable Chaminda Vijayasiri. Honorable Speaker, I ask the question. Honorable Speaker, question A1, the objectives of the program named One Tank for One Village, which is implemented by the Ministry of Fisheries and Water Resources. The objectives of this program are to increase the income of the fisher community who are residing beside freshwater tanks, lagoons in the sea, and generation of 11,000 direct and new jobs related to fisheries industry, and 4,000 new jobs which are not directly connected with the industry. Development of social and economic infrastructure facilities related to the fisheries industry, and to create pleasant ecosystem through prevention of unauthorized constructions and environmental pollution related to tanks and lagoons. Answer for question 2. The tank selected for the deposit program from each electorate in the Vadodara district separately are Electoral Division Mahiyangane, Divisional Secretariat Mahiyangane, Ratkinda Tank, and Vialuwa Migakiwala Lokugalaya. And for answer for question A, part 3, two villages are scheduled to be selected from one district as it covers all the districts in the island. Thank you, Honorable Minister, for giving this answer. You have suggested several measures for the development of the fishery sector in these areas. Selecting these tanks, the project has been implemented selecting these tanks. However, I want to know whether the objectives you have set have been achieved relating to these two tanks. For example, providing direct and 11,000 direct and indirect employment opportunities. So, we want to know whether this objective has been fulfilled. And we would like to know what steps you have taken related to these two tanks in order to achieve those targets. Honorable Speaker, in 2015, we commenced the program One Tank for One Village. And the objective of this program is to provide the opportunity for the development of the inland fisheries sector. We know that after the European market was opened for fish markets, the fish production of our country is not sufficient for the local consumption. Therefore, we commenced the program to renovate all the reserves in the country and to establish cooperative societies for those who are engaged in the inland fisheries sector, and to create new create new ferries for the fishermen to increase their fish production, and through these programs we expect to develop this sector, and we have already commenced these programs in 19 districts, and we have renovated tanks, and we have selected 10 tanks in the wet zone, and we have already commenced the program to renovate these tanks. And as our ministry was attached to the Ministry of Fisheries, and as these activities are implemented by the Ministry of Agriculture, actually we do not get the opportunity to develop these tanks. However, we have taken these steps in order to increase the fish production in the country. Honorable Minister, I thank you for describing, giving more information about the program. However, my question is whether what you plan to do through your ministry related to these two tanks have not been completed. And Honorable Minister, we know that these tanks were built by the ancient kings of our country, and it is good that these tanks are renovated. However, by developing the inland fisheries sector, the sustainability of the employments in the inland fisheries sector will be ensured. However, when those who are engaged in the fisheries sector are not encouraged to continue in this sector because their demands have not been fulfilled, their demands have not been adequately addressed, they have problems related to market, and they have serious problems regard to preservation of the fish production, their fish production. Therefore, I think that in order to further develop the project we have already commenced, some more steps have to be taken. For example, we do not have facilities, deep reserve facilities. Therefore, Honorable Minister, please look into the allegation I made earlier, and I would like to question whether the ministry can take steps to resolve the problems I have shown. Honorable Speaker, we have allocated 50 lakhs for each village under this program, and utilizing those funds, we will clean the tanks, we will diesel the tanks, and we will renovate the access roads to those tanks, and we will develop the fisheries ports, and we will provide fishing gear to the fishermen who are engaged in the fisheries sector. So in this way, we have a separate plan for the fishing village. We have these new plans for the fishing villages. And we will also form fisheries societies of fishermen in these villages, and through these measures we have provided all the necessary facilities for the fishermen, and we also have installed CCTV cameras in order to catch the thieves who steal the fish production of the fishermen, and we also have implemented a program to provide them with boxes with preserve facilities. Thank you. Next question, Honorable Padma Deshanta Gunasekara. Honorable Speaker, I ask the question to ask the Minister of Health, Nutrition,
member's question. Number one, the number of the renal patient that have been reported in Mundragala district by now is 150,534. And the second one, the number of the patient that have died due to the renal disease during the last 5 years, 230. The hospital in Mundragala district, which is claims to conduct the renal patient at the patient district general hospital Mundragala, base hospital Vellavaya, base hospital Bibile, base hospital Semalanduva. The question four, number of the patients that have been registered themselves in the outside the clinic during the 5 years, district general hospital Mundragala 136, base hospital Vellavaya 93, base hospital Bibile 95, base hospital Semalanduva 52. And according to the Grama Nirada division, in which large number of renal patients can be found in Mundragala district, and the that is it says in Thalamambila Pradesh division, Hakulagula Passa 41, Aluthweva 31, Kandiya Pitaweva 31, Kotava Mangada 29, Gambegamua 28, Gambegamua Janapade 31, and Savanagala Katupila Gama 47, Savanagala Mutimini Gama 36, and Kabaragala 19. In Buttala, Kumaragama 34, Ratgama 18, Onavatua 16, and Vellavaya Varnagama 26, Anamalla 23, Puduweva 19. In Semalanduva, Kotiyagala 18, Samaranapadda 13, Mutukandiya 12, and Badalkumbra Nurukalaya Janapade 12, and Mundragala Kulandaweva South 19. And the whether the detailed report and action have taken given by the by year for 2016 and 17 in regard to these renal patient and presentation which of these disease will be presented. Honorable Speaker, there are more documents here which I can submit to table to the to you, which he can refer to it.
Honourable Member, you may ask supplementary questions. Honourable Speaker, it is clear according to this report that in the Mundragala district, can be considered as a district in which the renal disease spreads very severely in this area. Maybe you did not pronounce the names of the villages correctly. I think the correct names of those villages should be entered in the report. In Kattupilla Gramadhari division, about 90% of the people who died in that village have died due to the kidney disease. And in the Anapalam Gramadhari division and the Kumaragama division that belongs to the area in Paravatasuga company, the Most of the people who and I have died due to a kidney disease. Therefore, my question to you is that even at the consultative committee of the Ministry of Science and Technology, I questioned whether whether the it has been promised that that the necessary equipment be provided to the Valloy Hospital for treating kidney patients. However, the equipment has not yet been received. Although the Honorable Minister of Health, Honorable Rajasekharan, is there, it's a question as to why this matter was not attended to. So I would like to know whether the Ministry would take some step to solve these problems. Honorable Minister.
The Honorable Speaker, may sambandhayen api.
Honorable Speaker, as the Ministry of Health, we have taken a lot of steps. We have implemented various measures to solve this problem. I think we have installed more and more machines now. Now we have implemented two programs. One is with the Sickness of Malaysia, we are going to install 1,000 dialysis machines, and the other program under German, under funds from Germany, we have made arrangements to install dialysis machines in other areas, and I think the proposal for installing Malaysian dialysis machines will be submitted to the cabinet very soon. And we have already commenced that program. I do not know whether, I think we'll go to the Mandragala hospital a day after tomorrow to lay a foundation stone for the surgery complex, and even the minister will be present at that occasion, so we can discuss this matter on that day, and we'll try to find solutions to this problem. Next supplementary question.
Mr. Speaker, I request special attention to Vellavaya and Monragal hospitals, even though not relevant to this question. As I have the chance to raise a supplementary question, especially as the Minister of Cultural Affairs is present, fortunately, in the House, there is an issue regarding ecology coming up. Only with the consent of the Honorable Minister, you have to raise a question normally. That is how the standing orders prescribe. Honorable Minister, are you willing to respond? Honorable Sajit Premadasa. I haven't raised the question. That is not a question raised earlier. This is a matter relevant to the cultural affairs. If you are willing, then you can respond. Mr. Speaker, yeah, according to the tradition followed in Parliament with respect to oral questions, ask the Honourable Member to raise it. That is what I said. Then you can ask the Minister to respond later. It is not possible, Honourable Member. We... under the standing orders, I cannot allow you. Honorable Velukuma, Honorable Velukuma, ask the question, then I can take that. It is not possible, it is not allowed under the standing orders. You have to accept what I am saying. Please be seated. Honorable Velukuma. If everyone started rising and asking questions, we cannot conduct business here. Honorable Ananda Ludgamage, I ask the question, sir. Honorable Minister of City Planning, Water Supply and Higher Education. Mr. Speaker, Answer for A118. 13 projects under the Department of National Community Water Supply and 5 projects under the Water National Water Supply and Drainage Board are being implemented. A2. National Water Supply and Drainage Board, Harispattu, Puchapittiya, Patadumbara, Kurana, Kadavatsatara, Tumpane, Kundasale, Madadumbara, Panvila, Patahibata, Kandy, Kadavatsatara and Kangavatsatara, Korala. Number of customers, 8 lakhs. Department of National Community Water Supply, Meegamana, Gangayala, Korale, Patahibata, Tota, Udabalata, Paspagi Korale and Udunwara, 11,264 customers. Answer for A3, National Water Supply and Drainage Board, 198 applications have been received during 2017 for new water supply connections. 190 connections have been provided up to now. Out of the remaining 8 applications, estimated cash have not been paid for 3 applications. Road access permission have not been obtained for 2 applications. Answer yes. 5, yes. Arrangements have already been made present for providing water facilities for the people living in the areas of Ullappane, North Rajala, Gamanapura and Indravid villages area in the Gangahela Divisional Secretary Division under the Prajajal Abhimani program by the Department of National Community Water Supply. That's all, Mr. Speaker. I believe I cannot be satisfied with the answer provided because I regret the Honorable Minister, the relevant Minister, not providing a satisfactory answer. If you take the history of Parliament, it was under the good governance government that the relevant Minister failed to be present in Parliament and that we did not get the necessary answers. You would just read out an answer provided by some official. So I regret the answer that I received. My first supplementary question is, Honorable Minister, the relevant minister is a minister representing the district of Kandy. He was elected by the people of Kandy. I believe that he would be present to provide an answer, even though I have not received that answer. I requested to refer this question to the relevant minister. Mr. Speaker, in the Gangahela division, it is from the water catchment area that the Arnayaka, Mavanalla and Kegol proposed water project. So we've been led through Asupiniyalla. Mr. Minister, you cannot imagine this area. Asupiniyalla is a historic place. From the ancient king's time, the water catchment area is there. Honorable Kiriyala is well aware of this situation. On the stage, the people had the demand to provide the water to people of Gangahela division, but the pledge has not been honored. When the Mavanalla water project was started, I made an oral and written request from the relevant minister, and he said that the Gangahela people protect those areas. They cannot fell a tree. They have sacrificed a lot to protect these areas, but the division lacks water now. It is to Mavanalla, Arnayaka and Kegol that the water is provided from this area. Therefore, Honorable Minister, my first supplication, the minister promised to provide water through tube wells and drinking water wells for this division, but in Gangahela division, the people are suffering. If you do not provide water that division, there would be a struggle. Of the 13 projects that you mentioned, I believe Honorable Dinesh Guruvardhan about 8 years earlier started these projects in Avalapiti and Gangahela division. Even though the good governance government mentioned these projects, they haven't spent even 100 rupees for the people of Kandy. The proposed water projects, even 1/4 of the projects has not been implemented anywhere in the division. I request you to refer this to the relevant minister. I don't think you will be able to provide an answer for this, Mr. Speaker. As the Honorable Minister has gone abroad, we will refer this question to the Minister later. Honorable Susanta Punchi Nilame, you can ask the second supplemental question. Mr. Speaker, I'm happy about the lengthy answer provided by the Minister of Honorable Speaker. In Navalapeti, you mentioned a project in Mavathura, yeah, but for 5 years it has been at the proposal stage. It is not being implemented. So to implement this project, I request the minister to take action, to take speedy action to implement the Honorable Susanta Punchi Nilame. I ask the question, sir. Ask the Honorable Prime Minister and Minister of National Policy. The Prime Minister has asked for 1 month time. Honorable Jayanth Samaravira, Honorable Minister of Housing, ask for 2 weeks time. Inaudible, Honorable Samaravira, inaudible. The Minister has asked for time. Honorable Vasudev Nanaka, to ask the Minister of City Planning, Water Supply and Higher Education. As the Honorable Minister is abroad, he has asked for 1 week time. Honorable Vimala Veeradisa Nayaka, Honorable Sunil Nandunnetti. Mr. Speaker, I ask the question. Honorable Minister of Finance. Mr. Speaker, the Honorable Minister of Finance has asked for 2 weeks time. Honorable Mohammadun Nazir, I ask the question, sir. To ask the Minister of Education. Mr. Speaker, answer for 1 year. Paradeyatha Khandiya has 2,544 students, academic and non-academic staff, 135 total. Answer for number 2. For the human resource requirements and physical requirements have been identified, basically. The answer for 3 years, from 2015 up to now, regarding the progress in human resource requirement in NSFN. We have taken action to provide academic and non-academic staff, and for filling the remaining vacancies, action will be taken in due course. Answer for B1, yes. Given in Annexure 1, I table the document. It's a long list. C, not relevant. It is good if that has been done. Honorable Dr. Bandula Gunawardena, to ask the Minister of Industry and Commerce. I ask the question, sir. Honorable Minister of Industry has asked for 2 weeks' time. What is the point of order, Honorable Member? This is a question regarding rice import to Sri Lanka. It's a very easy question to answer. I request you to provide an answer in the next session without delaying. Please bring it to the notice of the Honorable Minister. Honorable Bimal Ratnayake, I ask the question, sir, to ask the Minister of, to ask the Prime Minister and Minister of National Policies. Honorable Prime Minister has asked for 1 week's time. Honorable Bimal Ratnayake, as over 1 year has passed, by the time the answer is provided, this has been solved, this issue. Can you refer to supplementary questions? First one is, the Honorable Prime Minister gave a pledge in Parliament 1 year earlier in response to a question raised by me that in Vavuniya, in the same area, there is a National College of Education. The Signalers Division has been, department has been closed after the war, and he gave a pledge to allocate funds and to start the training of signaler teachers there. He is also willing to do that. the principal of that college is willing to do that. I wish to know whether it will be started at Vavuniya College of Education. As the second one is regarding the police, I wish to know from Prime Minister to you, Mr. Speaker, ICCPR under the net against communal and religious divisions, this act has been passed, but we see the police using the law in a very draconian manner and in a distorted manner. For example, a writer was imprisoned after that a woman in Mayangan had been arrested and detained for so many years because she had a certain symbol on her dress, and another woman was imprisoned recently. So I wish know from the Prime Minister for reconciliation, peace and rights, this has been provided, and without using it to push people further towards extremism, whether police and the relevant institutions would be advised to use it properly. Please bring it to the notice of the Honourable Prime Minister. Honourable Ishak Rahman, I ask the question, sir, to ask the Minister of Megapolis and Western Development. Answer for A1. Regarding the plans of Kapiti Gullava, the responsibility lies with the Kapiti Gullava Pradesh Sabha. I am aware of the fact. Two, as it is not under the Urban Development Authority, the local government body should take action regarding the development of the town. It is the Pradesh Sabha of Kapiti Gullava which has a responsibility for development of that area. Three, the area is declared as an urban development area. Only in areas where the criteria has been met, the attention has been paid to the characteristics of development and the development structure has been formulated. Up to the third stage, urban development areas have been declared. Kapiti Gullava, according to the north central plan structure, belongs to the fourth level. However, after reviewing the development of towns in this area, we could pay attention to the development of Kapiti Gullava town. It does not arise. Supplementary questions. Kapiti Gullava is one of the oldest towns, and they say that it is not in the plans. But if you take Anuradhapura district, it is one of the biggest towns. According to your answers, you say that it is not included in the plans, and in it is shocking. It would be great if this town could be developed. You have to inform this to the relevant minister. The Honourable Minister has said that it would be reviewed in due course. Second subject question. In another district, the second town is Kakirava. In Kakirava town, the roads and drainage systems beyond 500 meters from the town have not been developed. People of all religions live in there. The poor people live in very small houses. It also has to be included in city planning, and they should be provided the opportunity to have proper housing, and we request the development of roads and drainage systems to make it a beautiful town. I request the Honourable Minister to refer this to the relevant minister. Second round. Question number one, Honourable Lesha Gwitanagi, question asked. Answer tabled. Question number two, Honourable Dasri Jayasekara, it's a question raised by the opposition. Answer tabled.
Garu Velukumar.
Question number five, Honourable Velukumar, question asked. Question number 10, Honourable Bimala Virudhisanayaka, question asked. Answer table. ministerial statements. Honorable Sajith Premadasa, Minister of Housing, Construction and Cultural Affairs. Mr. Speaker, three questions have been raised under Standing Order 27, and I intend to respond to those three questions. First question was raised by Honorable Andhra Kumar Dissanayake. The companies that import movies have to pay taxes to the government. He asked whether the taxes have been paid properly. There are 20 companies that import movies which have been registered with the film corporation. The companies have to pay different types of taxes, and the institutions that recover those taxes, withholding tax recovered by Indian Revenue Department, tax type, value added tax recovered by Indian Revenue Department, tax type of tax, nation building tax recovered by Indian Revenue Department, information regarding the payment of taxes under from 1 to 3 have been requested from the Indian Revenue Department. As soon as the information is received, it will be submitted to Parliament. Answer for question number 2. Under the BOI project, even though the theatres have been implemented, under National Film Corporation Act number 47, under section 51(1), they had to engage in film industry without the written approval of the chairman of film corporation. Production of a movie, film rules or other equipment required for production of film and projecting, importing such equipment, selling and distribution of such equipment should not be done by any individual. However, under Act No. 36, 1990, BOI Amendment Act, Act number 9 of 1979, which had been amended by the said act, provided opportunity to take action not following the said provision. Section 17 of the said act have been introduced new powers by the Amendment Act, and under such powers there is opportunity provided to take action (99/6/38). Cabinet decision has enabled the issue of letter by Dixon Miller, the secretary to the ministry, the issuing of the circular. Under BOI approved project, thus theatres constructed under BOI project have been provided the opportunity to show films imported or movies imported. Section 6 of the circular refers to Section 57 of the Film Corporation Act, enabling action in entering into agreements with those theatres and BOI. The there is opportunity to active in the supervision of the National Film Corporation. The companies that act, that operate on, as BOI Project Colombo City Center, Cine City and Rio Cinema. Those companies the secretary to the Ministry of Finance and Planning, Mr. Dixon Nilavirai, showed 99 date 9/6/17 the NFNC stroke P circular provisions have been violated by these companies. It has been observed. The Film Corporation has reported through their investigation that they have failed to provide daily reports. Rent and tax for movies have not been paid properly. Approval have not been obtained for ticket phase. An answer for question number 3-1. Information regarding the payment of taxes has been requested from the Internal Revenue Department. As soon as the information is received, it will be presented to Parliament. Answer for question number 4. National Film Corporation's current administration in taking action to bring the companies and the proper operating procedures went into a bilateral investment treaty in section 3 and subsection 2. Whether those sections are violated, the American embassy has inquired from the foreign ministry whether this section has been violated. With relevance to that inquiry made by the American embassy, the Minister of Foreign Affairs has sent a letter on the 10th July 2019 and 19th July 2019. As inquired about this matter from the Film Corporation. And question number 3 answer. The Ministry of Housing and Cultural Affairs on 15 July 2019 has informed the Ministry of Foreign Affairs that no impact has will be caused on the BIT agreement through this act on importing of movies. Through the letter bearing NFC stroke 100 stroke 1 stroke 2003, has informed that no impact is caused on BIT agreement section 5. The Minister of Foreign Affairs has informed that the American Embassy will be informed about this matter. It has been informed to the Film Corporation accordingly regarding the importation and distribution of movies. There is no international crisis. Answer for question number 5, part 1. The legal income, the import of a movie is entitled is 40% of the income after taxes. However, the importers charge from 45% to 75% from the ticket income that has been disclosed through investigations. Part 2, importers directly There have been oral complaints by the film corporation that photos are not provided the proper fees. There are occasions where importers fail to provide the theaters with movies. Only with the prior approval of the corporation, the ticket fee can be changed based on the demand on the viewers. The theater owners charge various fees as observed by the investigation. Part 4. The proper procedure to follow in making payments in importing movies is to follow the rules and regulations respect to importation. Whether they have failed to provide documents proof of the fact and the film corporation assumes that they do not follow the proper procedure, information about tax payments have been requested from the Indian Revenue Department. As soon as info is received, it will be submitted to Parliament. The conduct of movie importers should be corrected so that it could be beneficial for the development of the industry. Answer for question number 6. Through cabinet notes, actions been taken to make allocations for 2020 through the budget. 2K projectors, 116 2K projectors with new technology will be provided. We intend to get the allocations through 2020 budget. Part 3. Under Enterprise Sri Lanka program in theatres to develop infrastructure facilities, a concessionary loan scheme has been given cabinet approval. Answer of question number 7. 1. From 18 July 2009 up to 18 July 2009, the distribution system introduced by the film corporation has been properly implemented. On 19 July 2019, through the civil appeal court, an injunction order has been issued, and the private sector has got the opportunity again to distribute the films. The National Film Corporation will introduce a new system for distribution, and it will be the sole monitoring entity in distribution. Action has been taken to submit a cabinet paper in this regard. I responded to the question raised by Honorable Andhra Kumar Dishanayake. My second answer is for a question raised by Honorable Douglas Devanand. He has referred two questions under Standing Order 27-2. I intend to respond to both those questions. He has asked a question about the housing scheme at Karapakkutti regarding the implementation of that housing project. Answer for question number 1, action can be taken. Second question, answer. Vavuniya North VA/223B. Sinadamban Gram Nildhara Division in Karapakkutti village on 27th March 2019, a housing project was started by the National Housing Development Authority. Answer question number 3. In 2006, the division secretary provided land to 4 people under the land development ordinance, and they have handed over the lands to the divisional secretary again, and the lands have become crown land. Again, the persons who handed over land in this manner are Mr. Shanmuganathan Dushyant, 2 acres, Mr. Muthaya Sidambaranathan, 2 acres, Mr. Natkuna Singham Sudhakaran, 1 acre, Mr. Natkura Singham Sudhakaran, 1 acre, a total of 6 acres. Answer question number 4. The said lands returned to the division secretary have been provided for housing project implemented by the Housing Development Authority accordingly. Honorable Douglas Devananda, questions about Karakutty housing scheme. It was started on 27th March 2019 by the National Housing Development Authority. The Divisional Secretary and the National Housing Development Authority have selected the following beneficiaries: Mr. Kidnan Manokaran, R. Rathiswaran, Sachitananda Sadanand, Kalyan Kumar Shashikala, Ponnathurekaran, Sivarasa Kajamyan, Kirubakaran Janaki, Ramachandran Lajinan, Madilagan Matsala, Mailvahanam Logisapan, Devendran Nishantini, Naguleswaran Sugandini, Balakrishnan Mahindan, Balhasan Sakuntala Mere, Natkasingam Swamesh,
Shant,
the Shanmuganathan Dushyant, Muthaya Sidambaranathan, Rajivan Vijita, Devendram Mrs. Devendran Sarojani Devi. Sixth part of the answer. The National Housing Authority do not construct houses and hand over the houses to the beneficiaries. The basic support will be given to the beneficiaries, and out of the 19 beneficiaries, 17 beneficiaries have been given 50,000 rupees each as the first installment, and Mrs. Thirubhakaran Janaki and Ms. Lakpurismal Ramesh have not been given loans, and necessary action has been taken to provide loans for these two. And when houses are constructed, the boundary lines established by the Wildlife Department has been removed, and the Forest Conservation Department has filed a case in the Vavuniya Magistrate Court, and these were the beneficiaries against whom the cases have been filed: Mrs. Ramachandran Nagi, Rathishwaran, and three more persons. And the eighth part, for the four persons against whom the cases have been filed, houses can be constructed after the case is heard, and for the other beneficiaries, construction of houses can be started, and National Housing Development Scheme, Housing Development Authority has been given instructions to start construction work. And in the District Coordinating Committee conducted in 1-8-2009, these matters were discussed, and Mr. Honorable Dishad Badiudi, the chairman of the committee, informed the District Secretary of Pavanya, and the other officers were given instructions to conduct a field test and give a report in this regard.
In Tamil.
Okay, one second please.
Honorable Dr. Devan.
Honorable Sabana.
Honorable Speaker, first of all, I congratulate you about your presidential candidateship. Although you couldn't reply me immediately, thank you for giving me the instant answers now. You told me that you are going to start the work, but my question is, when will you start that? The permission of from the Pradesh Sabha and the secretary to the ministry all were given to you, and you have accepted everything. When the date is the question. This was all given with the permission from the Pradesh district secretary yet. So you must give the permission as early as possible, and they have gone up to 5 to 6 feet height from the foundation.
Honorable member, it took some time to give an answer to this because we have to search for search correct information, because we need to submit accurate information in this house. That is why it took some time. And if any inconvenience is caused due to that, I would like to beg your pardon for that. And that is why it took such a long time. And honorable member, I gave answers. I gave a detailed answer, including the names, the dates we started the project, and the financial allocations made to that project. And cases have been filed against 4 persons because they have encroached the land belong to the Forest Conservation Department, and they have started construction illegally, and that is why the Forest Conservation Department took that legal action. I cannot intervene into such problems, and in the district coordinating committee this problem was discussed, and field test was carried out, and they have taken a decision to solve that problem, and as a result of that we are going to deliver justice to everybody within the legal framework.
Thank you. On the basis of given information, with the permission and identification of the Pradesh Sabha only, with the effort from their department, the foundation were laid for the houses and built. But when you say problems are there for 4 people, then why can't we start the construction work of others? Why can't you permit it?
For your benefit, okay? Now, 4 of the land recipients have gone beyond the allocated slots, and they have removed the various boundary stones, and they have constructed beyond the land amounts that were allocated to them. That is, no, the balance who are not impacted, there is absolutely no legal hindrance for them to carry on with the project. In fact, no. Let me clarify. It's a misunderstanding. There has been a scarcity of funds coming in for the continuation of the program. So the housing construction is constrained by the flow of funds from the treasury. That is the only reason why there has been a temporary stoppage, but we will carry on with the project once we receive the funds. But the four who have gone beyond their means, unfortunately the Forest Department has taken the requisite legal steps. No, Honourable Member, actually according to the reports that I have, I must confess I didn't see it with my own eyes. Okay, I was not on the ground. I'm replying you with the information that is furnished to me, but from the reports that have been furnished, four of the recipients have gone beyond the legal means and they have basically encroached upon land which is not due to them. That is why they have instituted legal proceedings. No, the reports that I have is that those four recipients have actually removed the boundary stones and they have gone beyond that. That's the report that I have received.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, I will do that. Garu.
The next question asked by Honorable Douglas Devananda. Answer 1. The Department of Archaeology named places of archaeological importance based on the Archaeological Act and the Director General of Archaeology has the power to implement that, and he has deployed relevant officials to implement that, and all the archaeological all the places of archaeological importance and artifacts, old statues, though they have not been declared as protected statues, they have been considered as protected statues, and action will be taken according to the Archaeological Act, and religious and ethnic differences will not be taken into consideration in the implementation of this act, and the officers with the necessary knowledge a committee consisting of officers with the required knowledge cannot be appointed. And in northern eastern provinces, the Department of Archaeology have identified places of archaeological importance, and there is no need to survey it again. And these places have been declared as archaeological sites. Based on the Archaeological Act, and 383 places in northern province and in eastern province, 1087 places have been listed, and officers attached to the Department of Archaeology with a degree in that field work in this regard, and there are Sinhala and Tamil officers, and if there are requests from the public and the representatives of the public, those requests can be considered, and based on the provisions of the Archaeological Act, these places can be declared as places of archaeological importance. answer to the question number 3, to protect these places of archaeological importance, according to the provisions of the archaeological ordinance, steps have been taken to protect those places, and there are assistants and laborers and officers deployed in this regard, and there were security guards and civil security force is also deployed to protect the places of archaeological importance, and civil security department carry out security duties, and the emergency call number is 1950. And in addition to that, honorable member, when I took over this subject, those who harm the archaeological artifacts, the punishments given to those who harm the artifacts have been increased.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker. On 16th March 2019, according to your budget, after war, the people in North and East, are facing problems with the Department of Archaeological. When I proposed my opinion, you rose and said your opinions. At the end of the budget, the parliament, you had a we had a discussion with your high officials, and you said that you will find a solution to this after consulting with your officials, but still the problem continues. My first question was, when the archaeological sites are being identified in the country, there is no we need to have an authoritative group committee, including Tamils and Muslims scholars even. So the people have all the doubt and dissatisfaction over the activities of the archaeological department, and they are acting on the basis of racism. For an example, we have the pictures even in Ottisudan area, Katsalamadu. There are four very old columns, and as these areas are under the army control, the archaeological department has taken it into his control, and there are so many private lands inside that area. There are so many problems like this, and our people are facing these problems from this archaeological department. On this basis, there should be, if we have people from all, officers from all three races, the doubts on the sides of the people can be simply removed. So, in the Vande district, Vadukunari Mountain, Adilinganeswaran temple, there are attempts to break that mountain over there. Vavati zone is given to private institutions, and they are going to break the mountain now. So, in your last budget speech, you mentioned that you are going to consult with the Northeast parliamentarians and going to have a high-level discussion. If you can arrange that sort of discussion at your earliest convenience, we can find solution at the earliest.
Honorable Speaker, Honorable Member, I must mention that the Minister of Housing and Housing Construction and Cultural Affairs had several meetings after the budget. I don't know whether you did not participate in that meetings, but the questions presented by you were given I can give the questions to a group of officers and they will discuss those problems with you. And it is not fair to say that the officers of the Department of Archaeology act on ethnic and religious basis. They deliver their duties in an unfair manner. And in my answer, I mentioned that in this Department of Archaeology, there are officers from all the races and religions. And we do not look into those problems on religious or ethnic viewpoints, and we have focused our attention based on solid information, and we do not consider religion or ethnicity. But if you have problems in this regard, you can submit your questions to the group of officers appointed, and we are ready to provide answers to your problems. But I think these officers do not act on that grounds, and it is not fair to criticize these officers, because the majority of the public officers work in transparency amidst various difficulties and appreciate their work in the north and east, especially in the northern province. If you have any special problems, we can have a discussion based on data and evidence and information, and we need accurate documents, and we are ready to solve those problems. Honorable Member.
Honorable Minister, unfortunately, our people, they feel that they have been discriminated. If you want to remove that opinion, you must take actions. From 2010 in Jaffna, the graduates of archaeology are being given training, but this time Professor Mandavala, the director general, has refused that. So you must take actions to give training to the graduates in archaeology as you have done in the past.
Minister, Honourable Speaker, I very clearly stated that if he has any questions and incidents, such information should be furnished before a committee, and we are ready to solve those problems, because the Department of Archaeology should not be treated in that way, because those officers do not act on religious or ethnic basis. We can discuss your problems with a group of officers and we can solve those problems, and you can please inform us about those incidents, and once you provide that report, I can appoint a separate group of officers and we can discuss those problems one by one, and we can solve those problems. Thank you, Honorable Minister. Next question. Honorable Minister of Transport and Civil Aviation, to our question 1 by the Cabinet of Ministers. The tourism industry and the airlines together have started a joint program to promote tourism and yes, answer to this question to yes, the when the passenger capacity comes down, the prices of tickets will be brought down, and is the tradition of the airlines, and due to the reduction of prices of oil, the price reductions are done to increase the profit of the airlines, and the prices of tickets will be reduced, and due to the drop of prices of air tickets, the number of passengers will be increased and the ground supplies of the Karnataka airline is done by the officers in the airline on behalf of the government, but this it is not something given to them and permanently, and it should be done in a competitive manner, and it should be done providing a contribution to the economy of this country. And to continue the airlines operations of airlines will be continued, and new airlines to attract new airlines to Colombo. Our intention was to attract more new airlines, and the loss of income to the airlines will not be covered by the government, and there's no need for that. And when we talk about oil prices, it doesn't come under me, but I have an answer provided by the Senior Petroleum Corporation, and the CPC issue oil to airlines and question number 6 comes under the Ministry of Tourism, and a committee has been appointed under the leadership of the number Tunga, and an extensive development plan has been started by the Ministry of Tourism, and the hotel industry has also joined in that project. Item number 1.
Continue, Honorable Leader Thomas.
I move item 1, sir. Karu, with the Karaka Sabhapatumani.
Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committees. That the regulation made by the Minister of Justice and Prison Reforms with the concurrence of the Chief Justice under Section 61 of the Judicature Act No. 2 of 1978, read with Section 60 of the aforesaid Act and published in the Gazette Extraordinary No. 2016 28 of 26 March 2019, which was presented on 12-7-2019. Be approved.
1994 12වෙනි මාසේ 15වෙනි දින ඇති අතිවිශේෂ
The Director General had requested the Secretary of the Ministry of Prison Reforms that they be amended, and upon his request the bribery amendment bill was introduced to establish the provincial high court and to name the provincial high court and the chief magistrate's court of Colombo, and the concurrence of the minister has been received for that purpose, and as a result under section under part 5 of the amended Judicature Act, the prosecution has been enabled at the Provincial High Court and the Colombo Magistrate Court under section 61 of the Act. The minister will determine by virtue of the amendment acts.
Karu WD J. Seniviratna.
Honorable W. DJ Seniviratna.
Karu Ulasini Sidna Kar Sabha Sabhapatumani.
Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committee in the Chair, actually we do not have any criticism regarding Judicature Amendment. However, there should be trust in the minds of the people of this country regarding the courts established. Earlier also, three high courts were established for the purpose of clearing the cases. That aimed at the establishment was called as an effort to deal with some important cases affecting the lives. However, mostly it is the cases of political orientation that are referred to such courts, and ultimately it turns out to be a program to curb the trust of people. I do not think that any cases which are not having an involvement of opposition members were submitted to those courts. Victimizing such members and depriving them of their civil rights, eliminating the opportunity for them to contest at elections, may be the reasons, may be the motives behind such cases. I am not complaining regarding the High Court judges. Hyatt Hotel case was one in which an excellent decision was given by the K Court, the former Secretary Gamini Sinarath was the accused persons, and as soon as it was presented, everybody felt that there was no cause of action. Everybody noticed it. There were no grounds for revealing any fraud. Part of the money invested for the hotel was set aside for constructing a similar hotel in South under the approval of the Board of Directors. It does not, I did not say anywhere that that money was used for personal purposes. As a result, those accused persons were freed, discharged. The decision is not what's important. Why are such cases filed? in order to victimize them politically. Such were the cases that were presented to such courts. Bribery cases are going to be handed over to the Colombo High Court. Most such cases are heard by it. There's a special court also established for it. However, if we examine against whom such cases are filed, it's mostly against politicians, especially from the opposition, against whom such cases have been filed. Therefore, trust in the minds of people is diminishing towards the courts. We do not have any objection to the amendment. I hope that cases, I hope the amendment will enable the discharging of cases pending before courts. And at the same time, I conclude saying that we should ensure independence of courts.
Honorable Minister, Honorable Ajit P. Pereira.
Sorry, sir. Garu, Karak Sabha Sabhapatumani.
Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committees, today we are discussing a very important topic. Which has been enabled through the introduction of this gazette notification. It is concerned with the judicature. Honorable Johnson Niratna talked about establishment of special courts. I must tell him that serious acts of corruption were called to have been committed by government ranks of the previous government, and it was investigated by the police, and at the same time it was decided by the Attorney General. We recently had some issues such as bank bond issues, Arjun Mahendran, and before this special high court, a charge sheet has been filed against Arjun Mahendran and Arjun Aloysius. We as were of the opinion that action should be taken against those from our government also if they commit any offences. You may have read it in newspapers that I have said it. A charge sheet of over 20,000 pages has been filed against the Central Bank bond scam. Mr. Arjun Mahendran is abroad. Charge sheet will be first filed, and then the grounds for his extradition will be made thereafter. The prosecution counsel has also stated that necessary action has been taken. Whichever period in which the offences are committed, investigations have been conducted, and upon the instructions by the Attorney General, cases have been filed. You yourself gave an assurance that those judges give a proper decision. I request you and the group you are representing to appreciate decisions irrespective of admire decisions irrespective of whether your party rankers get a discharge and when they get
ඒ පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ මන්ත්‍රීවරු කණ්ඩායම් වශයෙන්
උන්ට මයික් එක හම්බෙලා නැහැ
මන්ත්‍රී
මේක
ආයි රයි මන්ත්‍රීවරු කණ්ඩායම් වශයෙන්
Complaints were made before the Bribery Commission against 8 members from the government, but no complaint has been taken up. No investigations have been conducted in the case of a few of them. People talk about these cases also. So the independence and the straightforwardness and integrity of the court will also be measured through these acts. The Bribery Commission also works parallel to it. So I must state that delays of the court system have been dealt with by the government by constructive action. There were only 180 advocates in the cadre of the department. However, our consultative committee, sectoral oversight committee gave a recommendation and Mrs. Taltathukorala took necessary steps in order to increase the approved cadre of the Attorney General's Department, and accordingly the government councils, state councils cadre was increased to 216. It is nearly double. They had been facing at the same time some injustices because of no proper salary. However, it's been possible to increase their salaries. The government has been able to increase judges' salaries as well. And there was a scarcity of high court judges. From 75 to 105 was the increase of the number of high court judges. Accordingly, it was an increase by 30 judges. Therefore, you cannot say that there is such a shortage of high court judges. A new court system was also established. It shows the interest in the government with regard to administration of justice. Our member also knows about it, and he also forgot that fact. Therefore, we should make the people of this country aware. These investigations and prosecution all take place without bias. If there is evidence before the court of law, they will be freed. Otherwise, they will get punishment. That's the usual method of administration of justice in our country. At the same time, during our government, during our regime, serious crimes have gone down in scale. From 2015 to 2019, murders, rapes and organized crime have all reduced in numbers. That's a very important fact. When a single serious event occurs, some try to generalize and say that statistics for crimes have gone up. But I got down statistics. There's a marked de-escalation in terms of number of serious crimes. There's a problem with regard to efficiency of administration of justice. I admit what Honorable former Minister of Justice John Srinivasan said. Justice is expected by all citizens in the population. It's not enough that justice is accorded. People should also feel that it's happening. According to a survey conducted by the Attorney General's Department, it was revealed that a case at High Court takes on average 17 years and 2 months from the time of incident up to the judgment. It's a long time. For witnesses as well as accused persons, this is a very long time. Therefore, it's a problem that it takes such a long time. The government's attention has been focused on this reality. We have established many courts anew with state-of-the-art facilities. However, in working towards the enhancement of efficiency of courts, we should look at its qualitative improvement as well. In dealing with numbers, if our quality goes down, it's a problem. We have a tradition of British system, tradition close to British system at the same time. Countries like Malaysia have become very successful in expediting the administration of justice process. When it comes to murders, they deal with the case within 1.5 years. It's important. People feel that people are concerned that they get bail after committing a crime. However, they get punishment after about 15 years and meanwhile he commits more and more crimes. It's a deterioration of the social fabric. However, in Malaysia, no bail is granted until the case is disposed of. When we looked at it, we have realized, as I have discussed with the Chief Justice also, all processes, all proceedings have been digitalized in Malaysia. Since filing of a case, all notes, all materials, and ultimately the judgment have all been digitalized. A judge has to analyze the evidence and give a decision. Judges have been exempted from administrative functions. Lawyers cannot give lame excuses to postpone cases to get dates. At the same time, they cannot keep on dragging cases. During the past 5 or 7 years, only this success has been achieved by Malaysia, although they had a system similar to us before that. Working together with the Ministry of Digital Infrastructure, we intend to digitalize both civil and criminal cases. The investment necessary is not a huge sum. It stands at 3 billion rupees. It's worth 1 kilometer of expressways. Ernst and Young have conducted an audit into the system of administration of justice. I invite those involved in court work should feel that digitization is necessary in administration of justice. Parliamentary Committee on Justice and Law Affair and the Ministry are working closely with regard to this matter. When it comes to administration as justice and according of justice side by side with bribery commission, there was another important right won by the people of this country, that is right to information. A person who intends to commit a fraud or corruption, they get an apprehension if people of this country can get to know the facts. One example is when the school admissions come, parents do small wrongs, they forge documents, they do it especially in admitting children to schools. That's one of the instances when they forge wills, for example. This causes a social injustice leading to social unrest. Some principals, not all, obtain bribes. Some groups representing old boys associations have organized themselves into schemes in which money is obtained. Those who intend to admit children should know that all including marking schemes, etc., can be approached by an ordinary citizen through the Right to Information Act. If marks have been given for useless documents, it can be found. Therefore, there's some clarity with regard to this process. And at the same time, information can be obtained with regard to lands and other properties or whatever. This was possible because the right to information was transformed into a fundamental right by the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, and this Parliament passed the Right to Information Act. Honorable Karu Jayasuriya should be thanked for taking initiative to introduce this as a law. Therefore, we should thank him. As a result of that law, today public servants and government institutions have come to an accountable state. The appeals board in this regard is also functioning very well. Right to information which the citizens have been ensured, and it has minimized opportunity to bribery and corruption. I am not saying that it has been eradicated, but it has gone down. The bribery and corruption law has its problem in its inability to implement it as in practical terms. That is because it has been based on a very ancient prototype. Recent judgments showed very clearly that this was a fact. There were court cases with regard to declaration of assets. Therefore, it was found that there are shortcomings in the implementation of the requirements. The 19th Amendment to the Constitution came to a conclusion that we should formulate laws in commensurate with international standards and conventions. There are three main laws pertaining to bribery. All these three should be incorporated into a single law. Although everyone is agreeable, and we had intended to pass it by last February, we were unable to do it because a delay was caused by the turn of events in last October. Therefore, within 3 months, I hope that we will be able to pass the consolidated law. It will enable us to implement the law. Therefore, necessary support should be given by all stakeholders. At the same time, Mr. Chairman, in our country, the problem of bribery and corruption should be viewed not as something which ends at arresting, prosecuting and punishing a person. There is compulsion towards fraud and corruption even in the most developed democracies side by side with the poor countries. In our political culture also, it is ingrained. It has taken root. Therefore, this culture of corruption warrants some practical measures. What can be taken as measures, as remedies? The money earned from acts of corruption should be unearthed, and there should be devices to unearth it. When this money is used, government should be able to detect it. There should be systems for that purpose. Sir, very peaceful, developed country is Finland. I asked the lady minister in charge of digitalization, what underlying reason is there that corruption is so low. She said, it's not possible to spend that money and through corruption. The income from both government and private means are recorded, and their spending is also recorded. If there's more spending than earnings, or more savings than earnings, and more asset value than in excess of earnings, it's recorded in the state database. If there are 200 monetary, if there's a transaction exceeding 200 units, it has to be done through the banking system. Therefore, culture has been so adjusted that money earned through thefts are valueless. Small countries like ours can implement it very easily, implement such a system very easily. Actually, state systems should be digitalized. It will enable us to minimize corruption. In order to build such a system in our country, hardware is necessary. I am glad to say that our ministry has worked with Lanka government network and Malacca government cloud, and necessary hardware has been established. All the information maintained by different government agencies can be shared by other agencies by introducing a software, and we are yet to develop this software. We expect to have a national data operability and identifiability platform. That's the software. We intend to use this software to incorporate all the information available in government agencies and link it with the banks. All the things that are handled by state, the information pertaining to such systems can be obtained subject to certain restrictions.
On one hand, the information could be obtained by the authorities conducting the investigations, and on the other hand, they would be able to obtain the information for other purposes. So while imprisoning the culprits, we need to curb the environment for fraud and corruption and use the modern technology, and with the digitalization we can take effective measures, and in the future we are hopeful that we will move towards the new technology, and we are moving towards the fourth revolution, and this is the cyber digital era. And on the one hand, we would be able to develop the economy, and on the other hand, we would be able to curb the avenues of fraud and corruption. And I would like to finish this debate. Thank you very much. Honorable Vijita Herath, Chairman of Committees. due to fraud and corruption, our economy has faced many setbacks. And in the past, our economy faced the similar fate because of fraud and corruption. So we need to eradicate fraud and corruption, and the Judicature Act, the amendment that has been proposed.
Will take the chair.
Honorable Presiding Member, the need to change or to amend the Judicature Act is essential in order to take action against corruption. We need to make certain changes, and there is no doubt about it. However, only by changing the procedure, that would not serve the purpose of eradicating corruption. Various amendments were brought recently, and even today, the Gazette notification that has been presented, amendments have been made to make changes in the judicial procedure, and we saw that there was an amendment with regard to the Civil Judicature Act, but bringing the amendments, it did not expedite the judicial process. If we take a division case, if there are 20 members and one member present a certain proposal, and if it is not accepted by the other members, and if other members are not in agreement with those two members, so we can see how much time would take to solve the case. So therefore, we need to change the core factors as well. The complaint made by the public is that there are courts and there are laws, but the justice is not served immediately or expeditiously. And normally, the civil cases are the ones that are being heard for so many years. And with parallel to the civil cases, the cases heard before the high courts are being heard for so many years as well. And there was an act that has been passed with regard to the civil court cases, and that act clearly stated that three special courts will be established, but the government has failed to establish those courts, all the three courts. So if the government is unable to establish those three special courts, then what does it reflect? That means the government has no true intention of serving the justice. If there are a number of cases and number of accusations are being made over the media, and if there is a public protest, the country has moved to a position where that protest has been reversed, because the government has been unable to serve the justice for those issues. So because of not making changes to the core issues, the trust of the public on the judicial sector has crippled. So this is not a matter related to the lawyers. It is a responsibility that lies with the government. The government should be aware of it. And the minister who spoke before me, he pointed out the need of digitalizing the courts. Yes, it is very good, but I would like to ask, where are practical examples? If you take the magistrate court or the high court, in order to record the evidence reports, the stenographers, they will take so many months. But that fault does not fall within the persons. Neighboring countries like Singapore and Malaysia, they have digitalized and the voice recording has been done and the relevant parties are being notified through emails. So the accused and the lawyers and the defendants, they are being made aware of those evidence. But in our country, even today, those reports are being prepared by using typewriters. So what is the interest that government has shown to expedite the hearing of cases? While wasting so much of money in order to prevent fraud and corruption, in order to examine the accusations forwarded by the Bribery and Corruption Commission, the government has done nothing. And when the special courts were established, the public had public were hopeful that the justice serving process would be expedited and the culprits will be imprisoned. But that expectation has not been fulfilled. So when the cases are being heard in a slow pace, the accused come before media and make various statements, and the people, they lose the trust about the courts. It is better if we can digitalize the courts, if we can introduce a smart court system, then it would be very fruitful. It is not that much difficult to implement. We can start it from the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeal. Before digitalizing the courts, you need to fulfill the vacancies in the Court of Appeal. The members and the judges are not being appointed to the Court of Appeal. Without filling the vacancies in the Court of Appeal, how can you expedite the hearing of cases? We are talking about digitalization and smart court system. If we do not fill the vacant positions from suitable persons, then how can we expedite the hearing of cases? Although you talk about digitalization, go to the Colombo District Court. It is the Hulsrop that highest number of cases have been heard. It has become an archaeological site. And the lawyers, they have photographed this building, and it is on the verge of collapse. We don't have to wait till Sahran carry out a bomb attack. Because of its old structure, it will collapse at any moment. So it is better if we can have a smart court system. But before going there, I believe you should look into those preliminary matters. And the government talked about high court judges. The vacant positions of high court judges, those have not been filled, and certain judges are acting. And I can give you examples from Anuradhapura and Monoragala and Ampara districts. Certain high court judges, they are serving in two or three other courts as well, and no high court judge has been enrolled. And earlier, a full subsidy of 225 liters, it was given. What did the government do? The government charged a tax of 24% from the for subsidy. While providing this subsidy, then the government charged a tax of 24%. And if he has due to give a ruling with regard to a certain case in a certain court, then he will have to go to that court. If a certain judge is working in Colombo High Court, then if he has to deliver a ruling at Monaragua, then he will have to go there. But in the meantime, the government has charged a tax of 24%. And if you are giving 90,000, while giving a full allowance of 90,000, you are charging a tax of 21,000. So only 68,000 rupee allowance is received by the judges, and this does not increase or develop the efficiency of the judges. So while you are saying that you are increasing the full allowance, you have charged a tax of 24%. So you need to change this situation. If you need efficiency in the court system, and I would like to point out another matter related to the employees in the court system. There are a certain group, a group of 7,000 persons serving in the court system. According to the 1978 constitution, and they are mentioned in the constitution, according to the schedule, they have been clearly identified, the typists and clerks. They are the public servants, scheduled public servants, and they are recruited in a different manner. Their enrollment is different to other public servants. They are enrolled to a grade above in comparison to the other public servants. So while working in the Judicial Service Commission, they have certain limits. They don't have the OT, or they do not receive any promotions, and they do not have any transfers to other public institutions, and they are only allowed to have a transfer from one court to another. So until now, this group of employees, they have no particular promotion scheme, and they do not enjoy any political privileges. And furthermore, without any allowance, extra allowance, they have not been given a promotion scheme as well. There are a number of 7,000 employees, so to whom they can tell their grievance? It is only to the Judicial Service Commission that they can inform their grievances. Although various complaints are being made to the Commission, they are yet to receive any justice. Instead of receiving a favorable solution, the circular issued by the government last year, the government has equalized the salary scales of other public servants, and this particular group of state employees, we do not see any fault, but what we say is that they need to have or should be able to enjoy the privileges enjoyed by other public servants. By simply equalizing their salary scale with other public servants. Certain injustice has occurred because they are not enjoying the privileges enjoyed by other public servants. Since this is a closed service, I believe this has been remained as a closed service to maintain the secrecy. It is totally understandable, but you need to introduce a certain promotion scheme, and if you maintain this particular group as a closed service, then they will not have satisfaction at work. So in the entire judiciary sector, 7,000 employees are working, the fiscal officers, the typists and other related officers, they are serving in this group. They do not have any satisfaction and they do not enjoy any overtime allowance and any other allowance. So if they do not receive any benefit, then how can they work efficiently? And they do not think of staying more to finish a certain case. It is better if you can digitalize, but before going to the digitalized era, you need to open up this closed service. Then they would be able to have certain transfers. If not, you need to introduce a promotion scheme. By doing so, you would be able to increase the efficiency of the judicial sector. So the amendment brought to the Judicature Act to change the procedure, that is a very positive move, but you need to look at the core aspects as well, and we cannot expect any efficiency if you do not do any changes to the core issues. And the government, honorable member, you have 2 more minutes. And from the government side, it was stated that the cases are being heard in expedited manner. And I asked the Minister of Justice to bring the case related to the bond scam to be heard as the first case of the special courts. Honorable Ajit Pereira mentioned about the bond scam. It is a very positive measure, but when you were in the footnote gang of the court committee, you did not talk about that matter. Honorable Sajid Premadasa, he also not talking about this matter. And we are not amazed of the cases being delayed from these cases. And during the 52-day period, we saw that chili powder tax were carried out and how the properties were damaged. So where were the cases? Complaints were made, and I made a complaint to the CID as well. Where are the cases? So the crimes that have happened in this parliament, if the justice is not being served to those crimes that have been taken place in the parliament, then how can we find the solution to the problem faced by the brother citizen in the village? So the people have lost the faith in the judicial sector, and 10 months have passed for the crime that has happened in this house, and the government has been unable to serve the justice for that purpose. So the country saw the naked truth of the government. So certain typical solutions that have been provided won't address the core issues. And I would like to wind up. Thank you very much. Honorable Jayampati Vikramaratna, you have 23 minutes. Honorable Presiding Member, in this debate held with regard to the regulation under the Judicature Act, I would like to express my agreement, and I would like to mention certain matters related to the judicial sector. There are a number of cases being heard before the Supreme Court, and one of the main issues faced in the Supreme Court is that the lack of judges with the existing constitution, we cannot appoint judges as desired. So we need to increase the number of judges in the Supreme Court, and the cases that have been forwarded from the...
Sir, it's a bad experience. It's a civil...
The power of civil courts that is not being transferred to the Supreme Court. So there is an opinion that this trend or situation should be changed. So we need to increase the number of judges, and we need to have provincial hearings of the Court of Appeal. So without asking those or hearing those cases before the high courts, we need to change the situation, and we can expect the quality of the service. And furthermore, when provincial hearings are taking place, the judicial power can be given to the provincial courts as well. Then that was a request made by the public, and it is a proposal made by the subcommittee. So we need to consider increasing the number of judges, and we need to reconsider the jurisdictions of those courts. And on an earlier occasion, I stated that with regard to the appointments made to the Supreme Court and Court of Appeal, these appointments should be approved by the Constitutional Assembly. And we saw on numerous occasions the names nominated by the President, they are rejected most of the time. In the latter part of 2017, I did not mention about this judge, but now that judge has retired, while making everyone amazed, a certain judge was nominated as the chairman of the Court of Appeal, and the Constitutional Assembly immediately rejected that name. So if there is a mechanism to identify the judges who are suitable for the certain posts, and if we can have a certain committee comprised of the Chief Justice and the other top judges, then we won't have any issues. And recently, an additional secretary of the President's office, she was appointed as a Court of Appeal judge. I'm not talking about her qualities. All were amazed how did this name came up. Her name was rejected as well. So if we can have some mechanism before sending certain names, if we can have a participatory and consultative process, then we won't have any issues. And furthermore, the judges, they do not have any room to say grievances. They express their views in certain functions. And what they say is that a certain group is working and other groups are not working properly. So we need to have a review. It is true. A proper review is not taking place. Similar to the public servants receiving increments. There should be some assessment when promotions are being given. In number of countries, this periodic review is taking place. And this would help to increase the efficiency of the judges and the qualifications, the merit. It is not only the seniority. We need to have a mechanism whether they have the merit to be promoted to a certain higher court. And very recently, the matter whether the provincial council election could be held, that was forwarded to the Supreme Court. And after so many years, there was an agreement between the Chief Justice and the private bench. And one of the lawyers who appeared for the case, he had stated that this is a rare occasion. But that should not be a rare occasion. And what does it mean? Every day, Attorney General, he safeguarded the government. But this time around, he told some different story. But this practice should be changed. So we need to make the AG's department an independent body. It should be incorporated as a corporation, and that is what taking place in a number of countries. And the people have lost their faith over the AG's department. I'm not talking about the current incumbent AG. And when we inquire about the president's term, they say that it is 6 years. And with regard to the removal of the Prime Minister, they have different opinions. So because of these matters, the faith over this, these institutions have been lost. And the AG has to go before the President and to take his extensions yearly. And Mr. Kamala Sabeshan, he was not given the extension. And because of that, his life became short.
And we have prepared the 19th amendment, and now he can remain in office until the age of 60. And also, without extensions, you can proceed until 60, but action should be taken independently, not according to the whims of the executive. And when we, with regard to the president, office of president, the legal references, special references can be Is it appropriate to make the references to the Supreme Court recently? There was an issue regarding the elections, and there are fundamental rights cases in the courts pending for a long time, and pleadings have been filed, but they have not been permitted to speak. So sometimes a president, I don't wish that it should happen, however, a president has the right to introduce a short circuit to a case in the Supreme Court. So we have an issue regarding the references, whether they should be maintained continuously. And also with regard to the appointments of President's counsels, certain attorneys wanted me to raise this in Parliament, because sometimes the attorneys who make titles are made President's counsels. Sometimes those who draft letters, and also the retired attorneys, they are made President's counsels. And there is no, it doesn't contribute to the development, they have not contributed to the development of law, but they have been appointed as a president's counsel, and people wanted me to talk about this. I am also a president's counsel, so I didn't want to talk about it, because people might misunderstand that me being a president's counsel criticized the appointments of president's counsels. And now the Bar Association has a firm stand. Recently, they came to a stand on this. So based on that, I would like to express my ideas, and I have no issue regarding any of the appointments. And recently, the Bar Association has determined that these appointments should not be done in this manner, and the registered attorneys and such persons should not be appointed. In 2008, 9 were appointed, and it's done every three. It was done every 3 years. So likewise, around 25 to 30 have been appointed, and it is okay to make such appointments if all the persons are so skilled and capable. But when this number of appointments are given, it's like kind of an underestimation. And I have worked for several months as the council, president's council, so the current president. And I have given certain decisions, and it should be there in the file still. When councils are appointed, the attorney general and the relevant authorities should be consulted, and also the most senior President's Council Committee should determine the appointments. If it is done in such a way, this kind of issues won't come up. Now these President's Councils are selected from our station, and I could remember one, Mr. Sumit Dahanayak. You know about him, and he was like the second to Honorable Konvilardi, Mr. Konvilardi Silva. And he was in Goa. He didn't come to Colombo to practice. But he was made the President's Counsel after a great delay. So not only the President's, not only the attorneys who appear in courts, but also those who work at the regional level should be considered when these appointments are made. Now, I have raised several issues regarding the legal field, about the appointments to the Supreme Court and the independence of the courts, and there is an oncoming election, presidential election, and I would like to request all the candidates from all the sides that their stand, viewpoint be presented regarding this. about the constitutional council system. Should we continue with it, and should these councils be strengthened? Should the number of MPs be reduced or increased? Or likewise, we would like to get the ideas of all the presidential candidates regarding their idea about this. And to conclude, Honorable Presiding Member, I would like to mention about one more thing. You were also there in the constitutional reforms process, and you were in the steering committee as well. Recently, HE has stated that around 2 to 3 crores have been spent on this reforms process, but nothing happened. I liked the abolition of executive presidency, but others don't. If it is so, we had to rectify this. Initially, SLFP wanted to abolish executive presidency, but in the interim report of the steering committee, it says this is the point of SLFP. The executive presidency should be, which is available today, should not be completely abolished. That is the view of SLFP, and also it states that directly with certain authority, the president should be appointed through the mandate given by the people. Honorable Presiding Member, there may be less powers and privileges, but if the person is directly appointed, that is the issue there, then the Prime Minister will be able, and especially the President would be able to ask the that you came from the national list or likewise. So that should happen in a conflicting situation. So under the government, so this issue should be concluded in the 19th amendment. If it was passed initially, it wouldn't have been distorted. So now there's no point in talking about that. We have to rectify this. And SLFP has, in the steering committee, stated that they are against the abolition of executive presidency. That should be rectified. And also, I thank for the time allocated to me. With that, I conclude. Thank you. Next one by Charles Inmanadan.
Nandri Talame Dangan Rupinavargale.
Mr. Presiding Member, thank you for the opportunity. So I also of the view that the judicial system must be strengthened, and I would like to make few comments. Now we see huge corruption, fraud, and other decline. I think this is the result of a weak judiciary system. Because of this, the rulers who came into power successively, they engage in many fraudulent activities. However, they are continuously are able to hold office. This is the result of weak judiciary system, because the weakness of the judiciary system as a result of this a politician or a powerful figure engaged in a wrongdoing, and they can go scot-free using the loopholes in the laws, and they continue to engage in those wrongdoings. Because of this, the country's economy is in debacle, and also there are accusations, allegations about fraud. Two new special courts were established, but what good have they brought? What benefits the country has received, and what kind of criminal activities were stopped? And I would like to raise this question from the people concerned. This weakness in the judiciary system has also paved the way for the political intervention, and I can cite two examples. Mr. Presiding Member, former governor of Eastern Province, Hizbullah, I recently watched a video on social media. Former governor Hizbullah says in that video, I use my political power and change the judge and got the judgment in favor of me. This was the statement by the former governor. I would like to ask Mr. Presiding Member, in order to get the favorable judgment, a politician says that he changed the judge, former minister, former parliamentarian, former governor, gave interview to the paper. So what action did the judiciary took with regard to the parliament? A person who changed a judge using his political power and had the judgment delivered in favor of him. This was reported in the news. In this backdrop, we are talking about strengthening the judiciary system. Of course, laws must be introduced and the judicial system must be strengthened, but there shouldn't be any political interference. But this recent statement by the governor, whether Chief Justice or the Minister of Justice or the Attorney General, what action did they take or what comment they would like to make about this? They are unable to take any action against this. This is the situation in the country's judicial system. I would like to mention this in this house because the people who are politically powerful can do anything and they can use their political power to manipulate the judiciary system. Now this has eroded the trust people have kept in the judiciary system. Honorable Rishad Badruddin talked to the Mana judge and reprimanded him. His supporters threw stones at the Mana court. Look, now take for example, if an ordinary person has reprimanded a judge through a telephone, what would happen to this person? Now this is the weakness of the judicial system because of the political interference. The court's actions are being manipulated in order to strengthen the courts and judicial system. We should do away with the political interference, then only these courts can be strengthened and people who are to commit crimes will think twice about that. If people who are politically powerful once engaged in a crime, they can easily go scot-free. Courts must be strengthened. We welcome these reforms. But what kind of action the government is taking to rectify the shortcomings that is found in the judiciary system, but nobody is willing to talk about this. Politicians know this very well. When we ask for action and demand justice, the ruling party say we need this person, unless we can't run this government, and this is kind of political drama is taking place. FCAD was established. To look into the large-scale financial fraud and also misuse of government properties. Now, FCID has all these details. If FCDI is to take action based on those cases, without any political interference, the many of this parliamentarian would be imprisoned today. Now this FCDI has become a mere organization for collecting data. They are not bringing the culprits or perpetrators to book. There are many complaints about misappropriation of government properties by the former ministers. These details are available with many people. I have those details too. Once it is put forward to FCID, there is no action. People believe that FCDI will not do anything because of people, politically powerful people. If this is the situation in Sri Lanka, how we can expect a strong judiciary system, Mr. Presiding Member? Courts must be strengthened, through which there should be justice in the country. Only then this country will develop and the crimes will come down. But today too, we have political interference in the judiciary system, though it was reduced, it has reduced. I must also mention FCDI did not function as an independent body. They do politics. They have enough files against individuals. They can file actions. They can be taken to court. But successive governments are not helpful. Whether the ruling party or opposition, they are not willing to take this individual to court and file action. So all courts must be act independently in the future. Thank you, Honorable Minister.
Honorable Presiding Member, today we are taking up the Judicature Act, and thank you very much for the time provided, especially when we take our country. A country needs a law. A country should be governed according to law. Then the people and the country would get a better future through that. And we have such examples in the world. And also, law should be fair and efficient as well. In our country, law regarding the efficiency of law, we can cite certain examples, especially its pressure on the side of the people when law is not properly implemented on time, and especially regarding court cases, there are delays in implementing law, and also the suspects or the culprits have to remain or sometimes they are at large because law is not properly implemented on time. Therefore, we have to focus on this, and we have done it in Parliament. However, still a satisfactory situation is not available when with regard to the legal system and the functions of the Attorney General's department. They are the ones who implement the law, and we are doubtful whether these Attorney General's department and other entities are properly utilized for proper legal implementations. And in our country, we have several political influencers for many things. Then they sometimes bypass the legal provisions. And also, it is indicated that law is implemented in the country, but it is done in a very slow and lethargic manner. As a result, certain attorneys utilize different techniques to allow the suspects or the culprits to remain free. And certain actions happen and the people are observing this kind of things, and especially when the last government gained a defeat, several leaders of the present government stated many things about the people of the past regime. They talked about the murder of Lasantha Wickramathunga and the murder of the Raghav player and the abductions of other journalists and the murders of school children, and many other things were talked about. So when we take this kind of instances, especially people in 2015 had hopes for better implementation of law, but unfortunately all these things have been have got stuck somewhere in the legal system, and that's how people accuse. And also in the past, certain persons who were subjected to criticism and allegations have been released now. We have to honor and respect the judicial system, and actually the cases are heard based on the way in which the cases are presented to them. So we won't challenge those. But however, people of the country expected better implementation of law, and also they wanted action to be taken against those who did corrupt activities in this country, and those who conducted illegal activities, and those who did murders and who went against the law. People expected them to be punished. But today it has not become a reality. Not only that, by today, with the judicial system, the action of the police department and the political influences, interferences made and the investigations done by the police, all these are subject to suspicion of the people today. And under this present government, the bond and this embezzlement happened with regard to the bond issue, and the major culprit has escaped. So people have uncertainty, feeling of uncertainty on this situation. And also we could see during the last regime, one person was alleged, that was the former ambassador of Russia, Mr. Udayanga, and on many occasions he has had many leaks with the former leaders, and there he has taken photographs too, and there the local law and the international law have been underestimated. So we have to, this is a grave issue which is available in the country, as I initially stated. If we are to proceed as a country and make things more efficient, we have to ensure democracy, protect democracy, and for that we have to impose a law equally. And we have to abide by law. If not, if a certain person wants to underestimate these legal provisions and the authority, then they will be persuaded to do anything in the country. And that is why we say we wanted certain regulations under the executive presidency to be changed.
However, we have observed that there are certain undue influences that are made in various ways, and when we present these facts related to the judiciary, we noticed that many people were killed and many others were injured in the Easter Sunday attacks, and people were, and the members of the family members of those who were affected have been demanded for relief. However, on various occasions, law was not properly implemented against those terrorists, and the police did not carry out proper investigations to find out the terrorists, and the leaders and those who support the businessmen who supported those activities were not properly identified. Therefore, people have a great suspicion as to whether the network that was involved in these Easter Sunday attacks will be find out, will be identified through the existing system, and people doubt whether justice will be served to people through the existing system. Therefore, we should pay particular attention to this issue, and as the parliament, As a parliament, we should not only make laws, and we should also ensure that these laws are properly implemented, and we should give the necessary support, and we should create the environment, necessary environment for implementing these laws. And we observed how action was taken to remove the former Chief Justice from her position, and however, we have failed to reach our target, and the existing judicial system of our country, and there are various issues in this country relating to implementation, proper implementation of the law, and therefore people expect that as politicians, as political parties, and as the leaders who rule this country will provide proper solutions to these issues. And if we fail to give solutions to these problems, when we compete with the other countries of the world, we will never be able to reach the standards in those countries, and we'll have to live under these in these situations if we do not reach those targets. Therefore, considering these points, we should go ahead and we should achieve progress in these fields. And if a certain case is not heard efficiently, and if a decision is not given in time, it will not serve any purpose before, because even after the death of the complainant, the family members of the complainant will have to continue with the case. Therefore, law should be especially implemented for the benefit of the people, and we should make that transformation. I wind up with that. Thank you. Next, Honorable Ananda Rutkumage, you have 14 minutes. Honorable Harshan Rajakarun, I will come to the chair.
Katagramantuma.
Honorable Member, Honorable Chairman, I thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak on this occasion where we are discussing a very important regulations, particularly as a person who contributed to bringing this government into power. I have got the opportunity to speak in this debate because today we contributed a lot towards bringing this good governance government into power. However, the President and the Prime Minister in two positions. There is some conflict between the President and the Prime Minister. They are not united, they are not acting jointly. Therefore, we have questions as to how law can be implemented in such a situation. And we also observe that there are some problems between Sajith Premadasa and Ravi Karunanayaka and Honorable Kabir and Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe. They have problems between them. And there are problems between Mangala Samarivira and Ravi Karunanayaka. The Minister of Finance is not giving sufficient funds to Ravi Karunanayaka. So there are various issues within the government, and in such a situation, law is not properly implemented. There are authorities, responsible authorities to implement the law. However, now people have great suspicion about the rule of law of this country, and people have suspicions about how law is implemented about this country and about those who are there to implement the law of this country. When a person steals some fruit from a neighboring garden, law is implemented, strictly implemented against them, but law is not properly implemented against those who are responsible for large-scale crimes. And in the government, I was this government, but when Arjun Mahendran was there in the front row, when a case was being heard, if there is anybody who is speaking about the issue of the bond scam, the person who is responsible for that has been allowed to get free, has been allowed to go away. Now they are trying to catch him, and the Prime Minister said that he can bring him back. He knows where he is. However, today warrants have been issued to catch him, and I know that the government will never be able to catch him. That is the present situation of this country. Today, there are eminent security officers, and they are put in danger, and even the venerable Buddhist monks, false allegations, false accusations have been made against Buddhist monks. And for example, the Udve Vatero was freed from all his charges. Honorable Johnston Fernando was freed of all charges against him. Similarly, there are officials, public sector officials, and this government has taken steps to put them in jail, and they have intimidated those officials and trying to rule this country in by whatever means possible. We know that the Pradesh Sabha election of LPT will be held soon, and the people will give a proper reply to the government through their vote. And today the party has collapsed, and they have faced with a number of issues, so that they have, so far they have failed to nominate the presidential candidate. Whoever they will nominate as the presidential candidate, we know that the people of this country have already decided. We understood it from the results of the local government election that people have rejected the two main parties, and they have already decided to bring, they have already decided what party they are going to bring into power, and the well-studied member, the Prime Minister, said in this house that the investigations regarding the Easter Sunday attacks have been completed and all the suspects have been caught. But on media, we always get news that the police media spokesperson say that there are some more suspects have been caught. And the Prime Minister has told blatant lies in this parliament, and he is misleading the people of this country. So we are very sad that as a member who contributed to bringing this government into power, and I am sad that this Prime Minister, the President and ministers in the cabinet will not take steps to fulfill the promises they give. I understood that they are not going to fulfill the promises they gave to the people of this country. That is why I have made this decision. Now we have asked the questions, and it has been months and months since we have asked the question, but the ministers are not present in the parliament to answer those questions. And as far as the government party is concerned, we observe that they are falling asleep, and that is how they are acting. So we are very sorry that we have contributed to bringing such a government into power. And I should point out another thing. I should point out is that when Gotabaya Rajapaksa is going to contest the presidential election, the cases against him are being heard at the special high courts, and a select committee has been appointed by this parliament, headed by the deputy speaker, and we would like to question as to what benefit it has brought to the parliament by appointing such a select committee. And with regard to the security of this country, and with regard to intelligence sources of this country, everything that we have been maintaining so far have been revealed before the committee, and all the secrets have been revealed before the committee, and that is how the select committee has acted. And some people who have committed those wrongs wanted to cover their wrongs, and There is nothing that this committee has. There is nothing this committee has discovered then in order to protect the governments that had existed, the public officials, public sector officials who have been committed to protect this country have been brought before the committee, have been brought before the public, and everything has been revealed. So we are very sorry that such things have happened through this committee. When the Rajapaksa government handed over this country to the good governance government, the environment that is suitable for all people to live in peace in the north and east and in this country, a peaceful environment had been created in this country. However, after the because of the activities of the good governance government that we have brought to power, the terrorism has arisen once again in this country, and terrorists have come up, they have started, they have started launching their attacks throughout the country, and we are very sad that such things have happened under this government. And when you are involved in political activities, people thronged at those places, and what they told us was that they have continued their livelihoods, they have made their livelihood because of the Mahinda Rajapaksa government, and their roads have been developed by the Rajapaksa government, and that is what those people told us when we met them. Not only that, Honorable Presiding Member, as far as the existing situation of this country is concerned, the president has failed to fulfill his responsibility in implementing the law. And when we speak of the Prime Minister of this country, there is a big conflict between the Prime Minister and the Deputy Leader of the country. Today, this government has failed to export the products, and people do not harvest their crops because they cannot sell it, they cannot sell their products. And the export agricultural sector, which made the highest contribution to the economy of this country, has collapsed today, and farmers, innocent farmers, have been rendered helpless because of the present situation of the economy. And the Prime Minister should give up his dream of becoming the Prime Minister, and he has failed to in the election, even in the Sabha of temple. Therefore, I am happy that I could get away from these people, and I have joined the opposition, and I am seated here. Please give me 1 minute. When the members of the Dayak Sabha, the Kalinya Temple, were against the Prime Minister, only seven people had voted for him. Therefore, this government is very irresponsible, and they are not working for the betterment of the people of this country. I wind up with this. Thank you. Next, Mujibur Rahman. Honorable Mujibur Rahman, you have 11 minutes. Thank you, Honorable Presiding Member. I thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak a few words where we discuss the regulations under the Judicature Act. today, especially through the we have created the necessary environment for the judiciary to act through the independent commission, through the judicial commission of this country. And today the political leaders of this country, they cannot exert any undue influence on the judiciary. And Honorable Chairman, as this is related to the judicial system of our country, and this is related to the rule of law of this country, after the Easter Sunday attacks, what we observed was that there was a decline in the tourism industry, and this country faced a very difficult situation. However, because of the efficiency of the security forces of this country, we have been able to restore normalcy and bring everything to normalcy. Recently, we saw how a summit of the a community was held in our country, and today the summit was held very peacefully in our country, and it has contributed a lot towards the development of the tourism industry of our country. And through this, we have been able to generate revenue of over $50 million. And not only that, by holding this summit in our country, a good message has been given to the world that this country is a peaceful country. Therefore, as Sri Lankans, we should be very happy that the tourists and people from the other countries of the world no more have any suspicion about the security situation of our country. Therefore, we should be thankful to the security forces of our country. And we have been able to arrest those who are responsible for those terrorist attacks. And on the other hand, we know that without any evidence, many people have been arrested and they are still in custody they have been arrested baselessly, and they are still in custody. And I would like to request that if there are no charges against them, they should be released early, and the Attorney General Department should take action to release them if there is no evidence against them. We know that it is a violation of human rights of the citizens if they are kept in custody in such manner without any evidence against them. And not only that, there is one person who has been caused such a great injustice. On 25th August at 12:30 midnight, the Colombo Crimes Division arrested a person named Ajul Akbar, who is 57 years old. He is a scholar in the Muslim community. He studied, he received his education in Nalimia Jamia Islamic Institute in Berwala. He is a graduate in Islamics, and he is a graduate in arts, and the Jamaat-e-Islamiyah organization that was commenced through an act of parliament, and he has been the leader of that organization. And that organization was involved in a lot of activities, social activities, and social reforms activities, and he had, and they had spread their religious ideologies for the Muslim community. However, he was arrested by the Colombo Crimes Division. They went to his house at 12 midnight, and he was arrested baselessly. And this has caused agitation among the Muslim people, and a scholar like this has been arrested without any charge against him, and without any evidence against him. When a person is arrested, and if a person is kept in custody in this manner, there should be evidence against him. However, as far as the eliminating of terrorism is considered, the Muslim community extended their cooperation to the security forces, and in such a situation, such persons, it is very unjust that such highly educated persons, the Muslim community, are kept in custody in this manner. And there were newspaper reports in two newspapers, one was Arna and one was Mahabhima. Those newspapers had reported that he has been to Chechnya, and it has been reported that he is connected with about 70 terrorist organizations of this country, and yet there were many media discussions after that, but none of the media briefings, no word was mentioned about that person by the police media spokesman. However, in such a situation, these newspapers had given information about this gentleman, and once again, they are trying to create problems such as those related to Dr. Sapin Kurunagala. So why is the police acting in this manner? There are certain officials in the police department who are acting, fulfilling the wishes of certain politicians, and we suspect whether certain police officials acting according to the wishes of the politicians. We request you, and we request the police commission to look into this, and the president is in charge of the Ministry of Law and Order. So there are such highly educated persons in the Muslim community who act in such unbiased manner. We request that they be not harassed in this manner. Thank you. Next, Honorable Jayant Samarivira. You have 4 minutes. Honorable presiding member. I am happy that I got this opportunity to speak a few words when we are discussing the regulations under the Judicature Act. Honorable presiding member, Honorable Mujibur Rahman, who spoke before me, was speaking about the Judicature Act, and he also expressed views about the Easter Sunday attacks. On one hand, he extended his gratitude to the security forces for the steps taken by the security forces to bring normalcy in our country, to restore normalcy in the country. We know that, Honorable Presiding Member, when many innocent people were killed in the Easter Sunday attacks, and these extremist a terrorist who created fear in the minds of the people of this country. However, how the security forces succeeded in alleviating the fears of the people. However, I want to stress the fact that the security personnel had to act in this manner under various influences from the politicians. And forward is given to these attacks. We know that in November, the images of the Buddha were damaged in Mavanalla, and if the police department and if the Ministry of Defense had acted properly without considering the influences, these problems would not have occurred, and we did not worry that innocent people were killed and the tourism industry was affected. We will not have to repent of this accident. We will never have to worry about what has happened if proper actions had been taken that day. Our presiding member, it was Mohammed Sadiq, the two youths, Mohammed Sadiq and Mohammed Safiq, were the persons who were behind the damaging of these Buddhist statues. Mohammed Safiq and Mohammed Said, the police had received information about this youth, the two youth, and it was ASP Gamini Tennakon who had carried out investigations into these incidents. We should be thankful to Honorable Kabir Hashim's secretary, Tasliman, the Muslim youth named Tasliman, said that those who are responsible for damaging these Buddhist statues in Mavanalla, the two sons of Ibrahim, Mohammed Saif and Mohammed Sadiq, were the persons who are responsible for damaging these Buddhist statues, and a special team of investigation team was deployed to find out Mohammed Sadiq, and but ultimately what happened on 28 December, the then IGP Pujithyasundara called SP Gamini Tennakon and Mr. Pujithyasundara said that the two youth, Mohammed Said and Mohammed Sadiq, he says that Asad Salih is ready to hand this two youth to you, and he has instructed him to speak to Asad Salih. And Gamini Tennakon, the DIG of the Kegal area, said that I had received a telephone call from the IGP and he instructed me to
hand over this Said and Mohammed Sadiq. Mr. Asad Salih was ready and he should be conducted. Accordingly, Mr. Gamini Tennakon called Mr. Asad Salih and said that he was advised to talk to him by the IGP, and he was calling at the following morning. The suspects who are behind the destruction of Buddha statues in Mavanalla, Mohammed Said and Mohammed Sadiq, I would send the following morning. He said that was on the 29th of December. After he said that he would send them on the 29th of December, Mr. Gamini then told Mr. Palsikon, the DIG, that Mr. Asad Salih promised to send those two individuals, but what happened? In the morning of the 29th, Mr. Palsikon, the DIG, kept ASP Kamal Behra at the office to accept him, but the day was spent up till the evening, they were not sent. Then the Palsitana advisor, Mr. Gavani Thennakon, to call Mr. Asad Sali and ask why he has not sent them, that they had not come. Then Mr. Asad Sali took upon for a call to Ibrahim Maulavi and asked why those two individuals were not sent. And he said he was sending them. At the same time, the Maulavi tried to get information about the investigation from Mr. Gavani Thennakon. He tried to do that, and Mr. Gavani Thennakon down the telephone the whole day on the 29th. They waited for Mohammad Said and Mohammad Sadiq, the offenders who destroyed the Buddha Svetatmana, who were trained at Saranskam, who were ready to become suicide bombers. They were not handed over. Mr. Asatar knew their whereabouts. He knew everything about those individuals, but they were not handed over. The following morning, there was a review of the operations in this relation, headed by Mr. Palasiruvardhana, the DIG. DIG Palasiruvardhana at the DIG's office at K-Call had this review of operations in relation to the destruction of Mamanella Buddha Switch. Then Mr. Palasiruvardhana asked Mr. Gavani Thennakon about the main suspects. According to the information provided by Tasliman and several others, he asked why they were not handed when he asked Mr. Gavani Thennakon to ask Mr. Sansali. He was advised to take a call, give a telephone call to Mr. Sansali. And he switched on the speakerphone and asked Mr. Asad Sali. He said they were waiting for Mohammad Said and Mohammad Sadiq the previous evening, but they were not handed over. He said, and he asked why they were not handed over. He tried to get information. Mr. Asad Sali tried to get information about the way the investigation was conducted. Mr. Balasiruvardhana understood that and told Mr. Gavani Thennakon to down the telephone, so that connection of Asad Sali is to what happens in Mohammad Said and Mohammad Sadiq checked who were the informants. It was Honorable Minister Kabir Hashim, the chairman of the UNP. He is one of his coordination secretaries, that Patriot Youth Tasliman. What happened then? That innocent youth could not lock his back door, and they entered his house, and that innocent youth, Tasliman, was shot. And I'm asking Honorable Mujib Rahman whether he visited Tasliman. Tasliman was shot by Saran's people. This incident of destroying Buddha statues, that infamous incident, that incident that caused disharmony in the country, that affected reconciliation in the country, those who were guilty of that offense, against them, information was provided by Tasliman. He was shot at. That coordinating secretary of Mr. Honorable Kabir Hashim, that patriotic Muslim youth, Tasliman, is still in hospital unconscious. Think about this. Then what happens? Mohammad Said and Mohammad Sadiq, they are not to be found. Their whereabouts are not known. Again, we find all these people emerging in Vanathavillu. All these people full of Wahhabism. There is a bomb factory, 100 detonators, 100 kilograms of C4 explosives. You have to conclude now. So please tell us, Honorable Presiding Member, at the Kochikkade, Kattuvapitiya and Seonthad on the Easter Sunday, we did not hear hymns but the cries of the people suffering. We had run away with the fearful eye, but it was reintroduced. It was by the extremists who follow Vamisen. Now Mr. Palitha Sirivardhana says today that Muhammad Sadiq and Muhammad Said, if they had been arrested, could have been prevented. The whole gang could have been arrested. It was no other person but Asad Salih who prevented the arrest. That is why we say no statement was taken from Asad Salih. We asked the Honorable Speaker, the Social Committee investigating about this Easter Sunday attacks, and we said if they wanted to find the truth, we asked them to summon Mr. Palasipad and Mr. Tennakon. Once we have given this matter publicity over media, now Speaker Amini Tennakon was threatened. Mr. Presiding Member, Asad Salih called him and threatened ASP Gavini Tennakon for giving this information. He asked why this information was given publicly. We condemn this brutal attempt by Asad Salih, and we say that Asad Salih should be immediately arrested. If Asad Salih is arrested, then you will be able to get information about all other extremists who follow Babism. We can if we want to eradicate extremism from this country, we have to arrest Asad Salih. We have to find all details about this and international connections in this, and how this has spread in the country and what their future plans are. Asad Salih knows this, and Rishad Badreddin also knows these things. So they are going to let bodies pile up in this country, bodies of Muslims, Tamils and Sinhalis, and they want to make this the land of death again. It is the attempt of Asad Salih and Rishad Badreddin. We emphasize again, your so-called select committee, if possible, ask them to summon the former DIG Sabaragopa, Mr. Palitha Sirivardhana, and the person who gave leadership to the investigation team about the Amavanala Buddha statue destruction, the ASB Gamini Tennakon, who has been rendered helpless now. Summon them to the committee to allow people to live in harmony, to create a situation where single people will go to the shops of Muslims, to create an environment where people will celebrate Ramadan together. We have to immediately bring Asad Salih and Rishad Badreddin before the book. That is our request. Motion number one, Osad Reis. Adjournment of the House. I move that the sittings be adjourned until 1 p.m. tomorrow.